Hey, everybody. This is the Mascot Wedding Show, the Internet's Hour of Unspeakable Power. My name is David Hotta.
My name is Mac Blake, and we are your podcast lions. This is episode 265, The Dark Knight.
Returns his empties.
Oh, gets a deposit in several states.
There you go.
I always was excited by that as a child. Like, oh man, if I lived in Massachusetts, I'd get the 5 cents. Massachusetts just makes those cans cost 5 cents more.
Yeah, yeah. And then that Seinfeld episode kind of pulled the curtain back on what it would take to make it worth it.
According to my waspy grandmother from Massachusetts, it was just a thing, something to keep the hobos busy. You know, hobos, homeless bohemians.
According to my Michigan friend, it prices soda out of the minority bracket.
That is weird. Yeah, this is the Mascot Wedding Show, guys. We're recording live from the Hodgecast Studios. Well, live, but it's a podcast, so you don't give a shit.
Yeah, you'll get it when you get it.
I'll fix that terminology next episode. The Hodgecast Studios from Austin, Texas. David, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Good day. I haven't been able to say that in a while. I'm having a good life, Mac Blake. How are you?
Well, hold on a second.
Okay.
Let's not gloss over this. Okay. What made it such a good day?
I don't know. It's just it didn't cripple me with its ever presence. I've been in that kind of mood lately. But like the past few days have been really good. It was like I needed a weekend to just kind of decompress, and I got that. Did some shows, got some work done. I feel good.
So it wasn't necessarily, you didn't nail like the winning basket of a game, but you still made a nice nothing but net shot.
Exactly, man. Sometimes thriving is surviving, you know.
I hear you, dude.
Yeah.
Also, is there anything better for metaphors for life than sports?
No. I feel like sports is life.
Yeah, yeah.
And the rest, just details.
Oh. Weren't those shirts for a while?
Like, yeah.
It was like dinosaur collecting is life. The rest is details.
Pogs is life. Like, yeah.
Well, Pogs is life. That one's not a shirt. That's just
well, boring. Pogs are life.
Yeah. Well.
That's why they had to return them because of the grammatical mistakes.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm doing good.
Yeah.
I got into the car leaving work at International Tomato. And as soon as I got in the car, like, as soon as I turned the key, radio came on, and it was, like, right at the beginning of Sad But True by Metallica.
Yeah.
And it lined up so perfectly with me starting the car that I was like, oh, fuck. Either this car is going off a cliff or, like, I'm about to go kick ass somewhere. Yeah. But no, I was actually driving to a beauty supply store to buy a fake head.
Okay.
Because International Tomato is going to shoot a commercial bar or something like that. Hey, guys, if you're wondering what the heavy breathing is in the podcast, it's some of our special guests.
Yay!
Yeah, you may see them at Cold Town Theater, where they are two of its star performers. They are also in the improv comedy troupes, Precious Dads, and Whale House. Ladies and gentlemen, the first one, Mr. Jeff Whitaker.
Hey, hey, hey.
And Mr. Trey Fuentes.
Hey! Oh, hi. Hey, how's it going? I was too busy clapping for myself.
No,
that's fine.
You don't have to bring the attention to the
clapping. I don't know. Every single guest brings attention to the fact that we're all clapping for ourselves.
No one can tell.
Yeah.
Theater of the mind.
We might be doing this in front of a Today Show-like studio audience. No one has to know that.
It's like, look, no one can see us. They can't tell you're clapping for themselves. They also can't tell that I have this giant old creaky door right next to me. Here, I'll open it.
Oh, but make sure that ghost doesn't come out of there.
It's really scary in the studio.
Sorry, the door closing always sounds like a beer opening. How are you, dudes?
I'm good.
We'll start with you because you talk first.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I'm doing good. Today was one of those weird days where I made an effort to not speak to anyone at work, and it's kind of thrown me off.
Mm-hmm.
And I ate a lot of fast food today, so I'm just feeling like real weird.
What's your drug of choice today?
Wendy's.
Yeah. Number six.
Spicy. Number seven.
Actually, you know what? They changed.
Home style.
Were you thinking of spicy chicken, my
man? Yeah.
They changed the numbering.
But you didn't get the spicy chicken.
No, home style.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, seriously.
Upsets his boy's stomach.
Wow.
Well, we've already.
Got a real sensitive stomach.
Jeff Whitaker, the Lily White guest.
First of all, Jeff, quit your belly aching.
It hurts.
That's an inside joke, guys, that. Jeff complains all the time. We were talking this weekend, Jeff, and you said that you do not care for condiments.
I don't
what?
Like. Yeah, I don't do ketchup, mayonnaise, mustard, anything like zero.
The big three.
The big three. I don't touch them.
But
don't touch them, friend.
You are okay with dipping sauces.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want it on there already.
What?
Okay, so are you okay with So if a condiment becomes a dipping sauce, so like if you dip your fries in ketchup.
Nope.
So you just eat dry fries?
Yep.
The fuck's wrong with you?
Extra dry too. I put salt on them.
Extra dry.
Super salt.
Sandpaper just
what,
right.
What is something that you enjoy dipping? What's a dipping sauce you like?
Okay. Sonic has some delish marinara.
Please don't specify names.
say real fast. The Sirenic has a delicious fried cheese in the marinara. Just dip it in there. That's good.
So if you're eating spaghetti,
mm-hmm.
do you put marinara on it?
Yeah.
Is that not a condiment?
This is crazy.
That's part of a meal.
That's not a condiment.
No, I guess not.
We had this discussion. You also said syrup. Syrup's not a condiment.
What is syrup?
Yes,
then?
It is.
Yeah, it is.
How's that?
What is it then?
It's not a thing you can eat on your by itself.
Yeah, I don't need a bowl of syrup.
I would eat. I don't know.
It's a complimentary player. It's not a main attraction.
Yeah, saying you would eat it, by the way, is not that like that person who eats toilet paper is not like toilet paper's a condiment.
I wish we had callers right now. Could get them to chime in on this.
Tell me about it.
Or we might have a special studio guest dropping by later. I'll tell you, you're a dummy, though.
It's Red Fox. He calls everybody a dummy.
Yeah,
he's going to be in here for about 15 seconds, then say he's not here to make a couple white boys laugh.
That's right.
Is that something Red Fox does?
Yes.
Why?
Then he's going to clutch his heart and pretend to have a heart attack, and then he'll actually have a heart attack on the set of whatever the fuck that show
Laverne
was.
And Shirley.
Yeah. Really ruined the pacing.
It was
of the
really
show.
Weird, that episode. Hello, Laverne. Who is this black man having his heart attack?
It was because it was in direct competition with Sanford and Son, so he thought he would sabotage Laverne and Shirley by going on their set and dying.
And making it haunted.
Yes.
Keep exactly. that door closed.
Oh, Undertaker.
Oh, no, Paul Bearer's here.
Hey, just getting my hat.
Paul, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So, Paul Bearer, for those who don't know, you are the Undertaker's valet, which means you...
I managed the Undertaker.
Oh, okay. Now, Ed, were you also a professional Undertaker?
Uh-huh. Yes. I scooped the guts out of people.
So when you weren't wrestling, you and the Undertaker, you had your own mortuary, your own funeral home.
Yes, it was my... night job.
Ooh. What if someone wanted to have a day funeral?
I called in sick to wrestling that day. I had Slick fill in for me.
Who's Slick?
Slick was the valet for, I think, Kamala.
Kamala, he was pretty racist, right?
The most racist. Well, gotta go.
Bye, Paul. Man, Paul Bearer just
that was interesting.
That was pretty cool.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Oh, hey, you missed it. Paul Bearer was just here.
Was he? God damn it. I was attending to podcast business.
You could get him. He's still outside.
Jeff, don't tell us what to do.
I don't want to catch him.
All right, Jeff. So we've asked you how you are doing, and you have answered in a stupid way. So now, Trey, how you doing, my man?
See, I like to use like basically a French fry as just
and we'll
a
be right back.
Way to get ketchup to my mouth. So I'm the opposite of Jeff.
Yeah, it's so good that you just need things like a corn dog is just a mustard conveyance.
Yeah.
Most food for me is just a barbecue sauce delivery system where I just want it in my mouth. Thoughts on barbecue sauce, Jeff Whitaker, go.
Warming up to it lately, but still kind of weirded out by it.
Too bad it's on the burger. What are you going to do?
No, I'll tell you what I think it is. I think it's, I don't like the contrast of hot to cold, like cold ketchup on hot fries.
Love it.
Okay.
Did I ask you?
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know what to do with you.
Yeah. I feel like we should get to the bottom of this and like find out some weird childhood trauma or something. Like, that's not... I'll go on a limb and say it. It's not normal. Your aversion to condiments.
Well, my best friend has the exact same... Like, we used to eat dinner together almost every night.
Okay, so
that's weird. I hope there wasn't some sort of childhood trauma.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
Hey, Robert.
Hey, that's my name.
Yep.
Are we eating dinner at your place or my place tonight?
We'll have it at my place.
Okay, cool. Hey, here's our dad.
Hey, kids!
By our dad, I mean my dad. I don't know why I said ours.
I'll treat you both as my son. Take off your pants and show me your dicks.
Dad, right. No!
Ooh. Wait, he's holding some ketchup. Oh, God!
No.
I will always associate ketchup with this memory. Jeff, do me a favor, though.
All right.
Block it out.
I don't think... Oh, can't.
Blocking.
I guess we'll never know, Jeff.
I guess we'll never know. Hey, Trey, were you ever molested as a kid?
It's like a normal amount, probably.
But you like ketchup, though, right?
Love it.
Did it right then.
I thought it was weird that he was touching me, but then he's an adult.
And there he's got to know what's going on.
I just got out of the pool.
He knows his way around. Just got out of the pool.
Someone's got to tell me off.
I got nothing.
Well, my question was, were you molested as a child?
Oh, no, that wasn't a real question.
Oh, well, why'd I answer real?
I don't know.
Not a conversation starter?
It's a good starter.
What do you want to talk about? Condiments?
I mean, not anymore. Not with that attitude. Get Paul Bearer back in here. I bet that dude loves condiments. You can tell by his faces.
Look, Paul Bearer. Oh, damn it, he's back.
Trey, what are your top three condiments?
Oh, easy. It goes ketchup. Hunt's.
Hunt's.
Yeah, Hunt's ketchup. Then probably a barbecue sauce, and then everything except ranch.
Cool, yeah. Gotta go.
Hold on a second,
Paul.
Hold on.
All right, I've got time for one more.
Paul, didn't you grow up next to Jeff? Weren't you like the father of his friend Robert?
Jeffy Whitaker.
What? I thought I recognized you.
Oh, would you like some ketchup?
No, memories. No.
We'll be right back.
So Jeff and Trey, you are in a team together, a little improv team.
Yes,
is that correct?
The littlest improv team,
just the cutest little improv team,
a ragtag group of youngsters.
We're all tied together with a big bow.
Yeah, so you do shows at Cold Town.
Yep.
Yeah.
You guys still enjoying that thing? You guys
the still Cold Town or the
just
or
that,
the improv?
That phase, that rebellious phase of our life?
Just the improv. You guys just got done. With Out of Bounds, you guys did a killer show that everyone is talking about.
Yes.
How was that for you guys?
It was super fun.
Everyone who talks about improv is talking about it.
Yeah. All of them.
Well, the group, I should say, is Precious Dads.
Yes.
That just did a show at Out of Bounds.
We did a show.
I saw that show. It was great, actually.
Yeah.
That's all I've heard. What's it like when a show goes well as opposed to when a show doesn't go well? Like, what's the feeling there?
Well, when a show's like horrible, it's the worst feeling because it's like sometimes you're already playing like a small crowd. Mm-hmm. And when that small crowd is just like, you can see their face and just like see the disappointment. You're like, what is this decision I've made in my life that like led me to this point? So doing a show like Out of Bounds, you're like, oh, okay, this is why I do it. Like, this is the feeling that it's supposed to feel like. So mm-hmm. you kind of drive off of that.
I feel like when you do a good show, like the first thought is like an improv show is that like you immediately want to do another one.
Yeah.
But that's not how improv works. So you have to wait, you know, like a week or maybe more, like usually like a month or so to do another one. So all that energy is just fucking gone, buddy. Yeah. Just take off.
Is there a moment during the show when you know whether it's going to be one way or the other, or is it like after the fact?
I would say like after the first scene of this last show, I was trying not to laugh so hard during that first scene. Mm. And I stood on the side and I was like, all right. Like, this is good. And just, like, kind of looking at the audience and, like, if they're enjoying it and we're enjoying it, then it's going to just coast.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a good show, which is how I felt about this last one.
Yeah. Is it what am I trying to say here? When you do an improv show, are you playing to each other? Are you playing for yourself? Are you playing to the audience? Like, is there a difference in how well a show's going to go, depending on that?
Yeah, I'm sure. The way I do it is usually I will think if I'm like, all right, we're going to do this show. And then if it's not going well, like I think it, like if it's not going as well as I think it is, I will usually start just trying to play to everyone else, mm-hmm. which is what I did during that show.
Yeah.
So, and then it got super great. Not because I did that, but I think just,
yeah,
it just kept getting better. And just in my head, it wasn't going super well. And then it was.
Yeah.
By the end of it, it was great. It made me sing David Bowie.
Oh, nice.
Fake Bowie. Saw that show. David Bowie-esque.
Yeah, fake David Bowie.
Fake, but yeah.
Now, Trey is definitely the type that will kind of go extreme if a show isn't going how if he feels it's not going well.
He'll take it out on the audience.
Yeah, I've actually seen him like yell at the audience. Like,
okay.
And he
how
also...
Does that, how does that go over?
Usually they're scared because nobody can tell if Trey's actually mad.
That's true for his friends.
Yeah.
No one can tell.
Yeah, I remember it was a show at Cold Town that I think you're talking about where I like the character I was just went and yelled at the audience, the character.
It was you. It was you.
You were so lost in it.
Yeah.
May we speak to Roger now?
Yeah.
All right.
I remember that the lights in Cold Town, it's real small, and the lights in there are real, you know, they're right there. Mm-hmm. And I yelled something, and just it looked like Rocky just got punched. Just the amount of spit that just blew, just showered the audience as I was screaming at them. Mm-hmm. That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
I remember later in that show you said, the show is over, and they didn't pull the lights. So we were all just left there to pick up your pieces.
It's not like I left the room.
Yeah.
We just stood there awkwardly.
Yeah.
Well, next time leave the room.
Yeah. I'm out.
So let's backtrack a little bit. How long have both of you been doing improv?
About the same amount of time. Jeff a little longer.
Yeah, a little bit. But I think we officially started in like, what, late 2011?
Yeah, like this, like summer.
Something like that.
Yeah. And what got you into improv?
I wanted to do stand-up, and I was hyper stage frighty.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought I'd take improv because I really liked the UCB and stuff.
Okay.
So I started taking improv classes, and eventually I was like, oh, this thing is – I'm really good at it. I don't have to think too hard. Like, that's not true.
Yeah.
But once you do it enough, you kind of have the muscle memories for it, and I didn't really have to think as hard to like come up with things. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, just this situation makes me think of this, and I will say this weird – reference to a comic book or something.
Yeah.
Okay. So no, what happened to your stand-up plans?
I still want to, but I've you know, when I first started, I was like, yeah, I really want to do stand-up, and I would tell people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's one of those like, just shut up. Unless you're gonna just, you know what, if you do it, then you'll do it, and people see you doing it.
Yeah.
Stop saying you're gonna do it because you sound like an asshole.
But I've seen you do stand-up.
Yes.
And how did that experience go for you?
I think the time you saw me do stand-up, the audience hated me.
Wait, was that at the Hustle Up?
It was.
Let's put stand-up in quotes.
Yeah, okay.
Trey tells a story in front of a microphone.
Listen, they didn't like that story where I ran that red light and got hit by a car. They didn't think it was hilarious, and what an idiot I am.
It was not the delicious slice of life that they were expecting.
Nope.
You ruined their nachos.
I did.
Well, Jeff, what's your story?
yeah, Jeff.
Really.
We're super into Trey's, but we don't give. I guess, well, yep. Go ahead. I don't want to prejudge, but I already snooze. I'm feeling snooze on this one.
Well, oops. I was in a plane crash.
Boring.
Oh my God.
Seen it.
Just saying lost again.
Ugh. Did the plane go down or did you bring it down?
Boring. Jeff, what got you into comedy?
Actually, like when I was a kid, we used to watch Saturday Night Live growing up, and it was one of those things that like.
Flash forward 10 years.
Yeah, here I am.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know how we settled into this dynamic.
It was that way when I walked in.
No, I'm talking
when
about
I walked into the Hustle Show.
Okay. It's because
hey, you know what? That's your fault. You shouldn't have walked into that Hustle Show.
I thought I'd be invited.
One invited you.
You got to hustle in. Come on.
Editor's note: David hosts a thing called the Hustle Show, which he and I co-created, and Jeff and Trey are members of.
That is correct.
Yes, that was the editor's note, like in Marvel Comics. So if you are drawing a pictogram of the show, which I assume everyone is, draw a little box in the bottom and put an asterisk.
Yeah, and say Max says,
and then see, and then reference another podcast.
Yeah.
Like they would be like, look at Amazing Spider-Man 297.
Yeah.
Which, when I was a kid, I appreciated those editor's notes.
Yeah.
But now I'm going off on a tangent that no one cares about.
No, I like editor's notes.
I'm on board.
Comic book notes.
Is that like the part of the bottom of the Bible? That gives you the reference?
Oof, Jeff, stop being boring.
Trying to bring Trey into this. He's from Waco.
Yeah. Yeah, we're big Bible guys.
Yeah.
I'm a Davidian, born and raised.
Yeah.
Now you are.
I got out of there.
You are from Waco. Is like the stink of the Branch Davidian compound still around that city? Like,
yeah, because everyone thinks it's like it happened in like the middle of Waco, and
yeah,
just well,
did it?
No, it happened in like it happened in, you know, one of those like not like.
Trey's right. Nothing happens in the middle of Waco.
True.
Wait, did it happen in one of those towns? Let me Spiegelville.
No, it's like a Spiegelville. It's
Marlin,
Mount Calm. I think
is that
it was.
A hamlet Mount outside Pleasant. Of?
Yeah, it's Waco? A hamlet. It's a small parish.
So did I don't know. I could talk about David Koresh for a very long time.
My stepdad was friends with David Koresh.
What?
Really?
Here we go. Does he have any stories about?
My stepdad was in like bands.
Uh-huh.
And they used to play at the bar in the mall.
Yeah.
And David Koresh was a big, he apparently really liked classic rock covers.
Oh, yeah, he did.
And
makes sense.
He would go to see a lot of my stepdad's shows, and he was, because my stepdad's a very charismatic guy, totally tried to get my stepdad to be, to join. And my stepdad just wanted to drink tequila and what, rock.
Like around what year was, around what year was this?
Don't we all, my man?
Probably, I don't know. Right when I was like 88, 89, because my brother was born.
Does your stepdad have any like mementos of David Koresh that he could sell to me?
I don't think he does.
what kind of mementos would there be?
Well, we might have a Polaroid where he's in the crowd of a picture.
Okay.
Jeff, when you meet a weird person, don't you immediately steal something from them?
Well, I mean, if you're in a band, maybe something ends up in your road case. Maybe like a pick or something, or maybe like one of his Bibles. If someone could get me a good line on a David Koresh Bible.
I want to see what he highlighted.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. That would be awesome. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't realize I was the only David Koresh fan in this room.
Hey, you know, I'm just over it. I just was around it so much when I was a kid.
Okay,
That's why I get this big scar from that fire.
Oh my God! Were you in the compound?
I got burned down.
Just part of his arm.
Yeah, just my arm.
I had to go get my frisbee, so I just reached in, got my frisbee, and then burned my arm
up real good.
My main memory of the FBI raid or just the whole situation in Waco was the made-for-TV movie that followed, and I believe it was Tim Daly.
Yes,
from Wings, who played David Koresh.
Sweet, really?
And I just remember the promo where he's like, "You and my wife," and he looked at another woman, and he goes, "And you."
Do you think he was first choice, to play that part?
I think so.
Yeah, man, he was huge.
He was hot. He was Wings hot.
Is Tim Daly? Is he Superman? Or is he?
He was Superman in the cartoon. Series. He voiced him. Yeah.
No, the first they wanted Lowell. They wanted Thomas Hayden Church to play him.
Man, that's one of those things where if you look back at shows, and you're like, which member of this cast is going to still have a viable career years from now, or you know, like, or at least critically acclaimed or something like that. Like Wings, you'd be like, wait, Lowell and fucking Antonio Scarpacci? Hey, Lowell. That's my Antonio Scarpacci impression.
Wait, who's Antonio Scarpacci?
Tony Shalhoub.
Oh, okay, that was the character's name?
Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you. I appreciate the...
Like, take that 70s show.
Uh-huh.
Looking back in that cast, I was like, okay, I'm thinking Donna and the guy that plays Hyde. Who was that, Danny Masterson or something like that? If I had to pick two, those would be it. Not to Kelsey. Well, first of all, I don't think anyone knew how hot Mila Kunis was going to get.
That was unpredictable.
That's like the sun cracking in half.
Wait, so Wilder Valderrama did, was that his name?
He did. He did Your Mama.
Yeah.
And he also did that show.
For respect on the streets and $100 in Keshmani.
Keshmani. Oh, my God.
$100 in Keshmani.
Why was this guy? Oh, this guy had a career where people paid him to listen to him talk. That makes me mad.
I mean, and you also, you can say critically, maybe Topher Grace has done more. But he's not starring in like a movie that opened during the summer.
No, I think his biggest accomplishment was that 90-minute cut of episode one that no one will get to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's his.
He also played, I just feel like he played variations on creepy dudes.
Yeah.
Although I never saw Win a Day with Tad Hamilton. Was he creepy in that?
He was a little in that way that guy friends are.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
Was he creepy in Good Company?
Good Company.
And he was in that way that like slimy business executives are.
Oh, I remember the trailer for that because I think it used a Franz Ferdinand song.
It did.
And also there was a line where he said something like he was hitting on this guy's daughter at Dennis Quaid, right?
Yes, who I believe his daughter was Scarlett Johansson in that movie.
And he was like, that's my daughter. And then he goes, is it like a million degrees in here or what? And I was like, that's a good line. You're not kidding me to say Good Company. By the way, nice Good Company reference.
Yay.
All right. So, Jeff, you were a kid watching SNL.
Oh, really? We're back to this?
Jeff, you know.
Oh, do you not want to be?
That's fine. Flash forward 10 years.
I throw it back to you, Jeff, and now we got to talk about talking about it.
All right. No, it was one of those things that. There was this real crappy improv troupe in Fort Worth that I used to go see. And back before I knew like improv, what it was supposed to be, I'd watch it. And it was like very, very overly structured. And I was like, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. Moved down to Austin. Took classes with Shayna Merlin like in 2007.
Okay.
And like loved that because that's what I was like, that's what improv's supposed to be. And every time I took classes, I was like, that's what improv's supposed to be. And then I would quit for a while. But in 2011, I stuck with it and have been doing it since.
Do you remember the name of that troupe in Fort Worth?
Yeah.
What is it?
4-Day Weekend.
Typical.
Holy shit, seriously?
Yeah. Do you know them?
I know of them, yeah.
Oh, they're the worst.
Like, big listeners of the podcast, though.
Yeah.
I hope not.
I hope so. Bring it down here.
I have a story that I will tell you off air about that. Yes.
I think it's about finger blasting. Most of David's off air stories are.
No, it was one of those, like, they did a lot of bachelorette parties. Like, I went to one show where I was forced.
First of all,
Why were you at all these bachelorette parties?
I was just in the middle. All these people wearing white and pink, and then me in my black shirt.
Bachelorette parties are the
worst.
Yeah.
Nemesis of stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
So the fact that they got an improv troupe, it's like, yeah, take that bullet.
Yeah. But they read. I watched two shows where they read from the same newspaper and like the same article. Uh-huh. And I was like, that's not improv. I was like, that's. Bad. And they're like, oh, we're gonna make up some things. And yeah. I was like, no, you're not, because I saw this.
Was it the same show? Like, did they do the same show?
No, it was like a little bit different, but it was the same idea.
Yeah.
How do you know bachelorette parties would go to them?
Because there's so many tiaras. I was there.
So it was like a show.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, in my brain, a bachelor party rented them for some reason.
No, that's what I was saying. They have their own theater that people will like go to.
Why do bachelorette parties like comedy so much? I guarantee you they're not there every any other night of the
week. I think it's because like the maid of honor is like, okay, what's something cheap and fun that we can do before drinking?
I think, as evidenced by the whole Dave Chappelle thing going on in the news right now, I think a lot of people just don't understand comedy's place in their, or I guess they don't understand their own place in comedy, where it's like, oh, we're this bachelorette party, we'll go to the show and make it better somehow, like by hooting and hollering and cheering them on, that kind of thing.
These people are gonna fucking love. We're a bunch of hot chicks. They're gonna fucking love us being there.
Tiffany, sit down.
No, I'm smoking a cigarette in here.
You can't smoke. Get off the stage.
No, it's my bachelorette, your birthday
or whatever.
Your boobs.
I'm smoking a cigarette.
Tiffany, I'm bored. Comedian's not giving me enough attention.
Hang on. Hey, it's my friend's getting married. It is. Come here. I'm smoking and yelling at you.
Tiffany, you're so funny.
Can let me on stage.
Now, you should be hey, Tiffany's got a great joke about penises.
Okay, so what's long and hard?
School.
That's what it is. It's a joke.
Show me your boobs.
Okay.
Hey, who's yelling to show me your boobs? Get out of here.
That was me in the back.
Oh, get it. You're gross, Jeff.
Yeah, I was like 19.
Come on. Get out of here, buddy. Get that gross stuff out of here.
To this day, I still yell that anywhere, just in case. Just in case someone wants to show me the boobs. Like, I'd be
in in case they want to.
I could be in the grocery store, like, 2 aisles away, and just be like, show me your boobs! And, like, if I hear a shirt coming up, then I'll be like, all right, got to go 2 aisles over.
You hear it coming up?
Yeah. That's my X-Men power. I can hear shirts being lifted. I can hear girls going wild.
Oh,
and you just go and look at them.
Yes, nice.
You're a Francisser.
Yeah,
that's that mutant ability classification.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, how did that guy get a fair trial anywhere? No, I mean, he's a scumbag.
Yeah,
but it's like, what did he go to jail for? Something, right? Well, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like, this guy owns Girls Gone Wild. The judge had to be like, wow. Yeah. Wow, really? Guilty. I don't care what. Guilty.
My daughter's on every one of those. Yeah.
So, what do you do for a living? I produce erotic entertainment.
Guilty.
Show us your
boobs! And there I am, right there in the jury box.
Every instead of a gavel, it begin with a... we will now bring this court in session. Tick, 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 tick. A steel drum.
Steel drum.
Sorry. Once again, I can't replicate sounds with my mouth.
You don't have the register for a steel drum.
I don't got the tongue skills.
You know what I don't understand about like weird improv troupes that have been around for a long time?
Yeah.
The idea was like, we got to keep we're auditioning new people for 4-day weekend. How long has it been around? For like 10 years? Yeah, it had to have been.
That's crazy. It's like that people would keep like rotate like
yeah.
That they have these house improv troupes, like, and when schools have them, like it's like, you know, it's like the day's off, or that's so close to the other name.
Yeah. Schools
have good improv.
Well, here's off. I kind of understand it though, because like with at least with improv, it's hard to build a name for yourselves. There are very few like name groups where someone's like, oh, this group is performing, and I feel like improv is sort of in the stage, you know, that some sort of musical genres are in, where it's like you have a hardcore group of fans, or people who are into that scene are most of its audience right now. I mean, I think it's growing out of that. And in fact, yeah, I mean, you go to Cold Town on like a Friday night or like a, one of the weekend nights, or even Thursday, and you get a pretty diverse crowd. But it's hard to get like an improv name for whatever reason. I don't know why.
That's and because so, there's like 300 of them.
Yeah. And
it's and a rotating group.
Yeah, but there's 300 stand-up comedians and there's 300, you know, music acts in the city. But I mean, like they're able to build a name.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, so I think if you got a name, I can see it's sort of worth defending in a way.
Yeah, because if you're not in like L.A. or Chicago or New York where you could be in like Second City or the Groundlings or something, and that's the name. If you're in some other city other than those, then and you find some success, you better latch onto that thing for 15 years, even if it means rotating people out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's because a lot of the things are based on like star systems. And, you know, with improv, like if you saw like a badass UCB show like Death by Ruru, you might still be like, oh, man, I saw this show. Yeah, Adam Pally was in it or something like that. Like you still might give out a name or something. But let me ask you this, improv dudes.
What's up?
So Cold Town is not just a theater. It's also a conservatory. They teach improv classes there. And in fact, I think it's how Cold Town makes half of its income. Cold Style is training other members. No, but I mean, I'm a graduate, proud graduate of Cold Town. But here's something. So, I mean, I went through the classes, you know, and there's six levels. And then you join a student group or whatever. But because just like a school, you know, there's always like incoming freshmen or something. Very quickly, within 2 years, you go from like absolute like noob to the big man on campus or big lady on campus, BLOC, block.
Ooh.
How does that feel now? Like, I mean, because you guys are definitely like, you know, people look up to you at Cold Town. Is that odd?
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's super weird.
I like when someone hasn't, like, they just, like, some new person will see me in shows and they have no idea what my name is, but they'll, like, this one girl, she was like trying to figure out which member of Whale House I was, and she was like, "No, the guy, he's not the Mexican guy. He's like real mean looking. Like he's real angry. Like he gets mad real good or something." It's like, "Oh, yeah, that's me."
Yeah, no, it's also weird. I would get like from level one students or something. I would get Facebook messages, and it would be just this real like. Sweetly written, like hello, comma, enter, like there was indentions and
Facebook
stuff.
Form, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, hey, I saw you in this show and I was just wanted to commend you on a great, I really enjoyed it, blah, blah, blah. Like, hey, if you ever want to do something or if you ever want to like coach something, I'm in. And then like they're in it.
How many
like,
of those were girls though, Jeff?
Zero.
Oh, what's his rise?
30-year-old dudes.
Yeah. Jeff looks like a cartoon baseball player.
That's right.
What do I look like?
Cartoon mean guy.
Yeah.
The Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez.
No, but like and then like a month after that they're like, "Oh, he's just like me. He doesn't know anything."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's an idiot.
Well, I'm glad you wear that with you everywhere you go. Just don't put faith in me, guys.
I've stopped when people ask me for advice when it comes to comedy. I've stopped protesting, cuz normally people ask me like, "Hey, how do I?" I'm like, "Dude, I don't know. I'm the wrong person to ask." Mm. But now I just like I'll just give them what I know. But then at the end, I'm like, "Man, if only you knew how little I know."
Yeah.
Like you would be. It's like, "Oh yeah, go to open mics." Yeah. "Oh yeah, yeah, take an improv class." Thank you. Like the easiest answers in the world.
That sounds like a coach's press conference answer. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And we did do a really great job. You just go out there and you just get in front of that mic and you just give it everything you have.
Play hard.
Yeah.
After a show, I'm Greg Popovich. I hate being asked questions. I hate it. No, I'm friendly.
But
feel free to approach me. Sorry, yeah. Go ahead.
But you also brought up Whale House, which has a run of shows going on in September.
Yeah, it should be a weird one.
Yeah.
Why do you say that? What is it about Whale House that makes it a weird show?
I guess not that it. Whale House isn't weird. I guess maybe, but it's funny that two dudes know a ton about like comic books and superheroes and different things, and like Jeff and the other and like Carlos do not.
Oh yeah.
So sometimes it's like. Like, I did a scene where I was Swamp Thing one time, dressed as the Shadow, because I was trying to go to some convention on a train.
Oh, okay. It's like jazz music.
Yes. And no one in no one except Callan knew who Swamp, like, anything about Swamp Thing.
Okay.
Or the Shadow.
Yeah.
And so he just came in as a conductor early on and then couldn't come back in. And it's like, just stuck in the scene with these people, and they're just letting me talk.
Well, I was sitting on the side, like, you know, you're supposed to hop in if you have anything to add or whatever. And I was like, I don't even know what, like, what's going on.
What world
so,
this is.
Me and this other person on the side were just like, what do we do? Yeah. I just felt hopeless and scared. And just like, let them go. Because the audience was, I think, was laughing because they had no idea what was going on either.
Wait, yeah. The audience knew who Swamp Thing was?
No, I think they were a few nerds.
Okay.
Because I was doing the breathing like Swamp Thing.
Oh,
how does Swamp Thing breathe?
He talks like this, and there's the periods are in the spots they're supposed to be.
Like, he talks real stilted and weird.
Is this in the... The movie adaptation?
No, this is the Alan Moore original.
Well, Lee
Wayne.
Was there like a vinyl audio book that came with it?
they just spaced it out weird in the...
Okay.
And I assume he sounds more like a tree.
No, there were those...
I never read it.
He has a tree voice.
Well, there were those... there was the movie, and there was the TV show, and there were those commercials where a kid would litter, and he would pick it up out of the swamp.
There was that cartoon show, the worst theme song ever, because they took Wild Thing, and they were like, Swamp Thing.
Oh, yeah.
Burr, 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 burr. Fuck you, Alan Moore. Poor Alan Moore. I shat on him in that other show, but he definitely...
Do you want to recant?
No, I definitely do not want to recant. His body of work is up there, but he's also just an asshole.
Yeah.
So I stand by that.
Let's play a new segment on the show. Asshole Genius. Trey, who's an asshole genius?
An asshole genius?
Yeah. Sit on it.
Go ahead.
Jeff, who's an asshole genius?
Dude from the Arcade Fire, probably. The Arcade Fire are a collective asshole genius.
Okay, all right.
They just seem like assholes to me.
Yeah,
they seem and they like make good. Really good pretentious music.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm.
And that dude from Wayne Coyne from
He seems like a fun guy.
He said they were assholes because they would treat people jerky backstage, and I thought that was funny that he called them out on that.
I'm sitting on it a little bit just because right now I have like local people.
Either don't do that or do that, because then we'll get more listeners.
Here, let me stop the tape for a second. Sorry, guys. And so Jeff can tell us the local asshole person.
Calls him like a season.
You get out of here.
That is a
Christ.
He is a treasure.
That person runs this town.
A treasure.
You're an idiot.
There's going to be a statue when that fucker goes.
That is too hot, Jeff.
No mercy, no regrets.
We're burning these tapes. If you're listening to this podcast, delete it.
Yeah.
It's too hot.
So save it on a zip drive and swallow the zip drive.
Too hot. I can't believe you were hinting at it the entire episode leading up to that point where you said
it. Yeah. I mean, the clues are all there.
It's
if you
like
just
Da
go
Vinci
back.
Code.
Yeah.
Crazy. Frank Miller is an asshole genius, by the way.
Yep. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Man, he wrote like this little like article about what he thinks the Occupy Wall Street people are.
Uh-huh.
And man, they're talking about it. But anyway, like...
did you ever read...
that guy, boof, he's deep in the cups.
Yeah.
What about you, David?
Oh man, asshole genius. Probably Neil Young. Neil Young like is a real. He's just become like a real surly guy, which is like he has the most gentle songs, but then like you hear him talking, he just could not be bothered by anyone or anything except his like electric cars. Like, and I love Neil Young. I love him to death. But I'm scared to meet him because he's an asshole.
And you're meeting him this Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
Oh no!
Yeah, we're doing a meet and greet.
That's awesome.
We're opening in Albertsons.
Win a date with Neil Young.
Yeah. Yes, I play Tad Hamilton.
So, Trey, what were you gonna say? Mm.
Did you ever read Frank Miller's book Holy Terror?
No, because I know I know enough now to stop reading Frank Miller.
After 9/11, Frank Miller, he went even more over the top, and he wrote this Batman story where Batman goes over to like Iraq or to Afghanistan, I guess. And just punches all the terrorists to death, and I guess finds Osama bin Laden. And DC said, "No, thank you." So he released it called Holy Terror. It's Batman with no bat ears.
Okay,
and he just beats up terror.
Basically, yeah. And DC never greenlit this thing, so it was like, "Hey, I've already started making this Batman story." By the way, DC I think paid him reportedly like $1 million or more to make the Dark Knight. The sequel to Dark Knight Returns, which if you read that thing, I go back and forth on it. Part of me thinks it's garbage. Part of me thinks it's a brilliant piece of just like punk rock comics.
Uh-huh.
Like, but then also part of me just, I think I'm cycling back to where it's just garbage.
Yeah.
It's got one of those things in it where it's stuck in the time where like the first superhero you see, like you see the Atom, I think first. And the next person you see is a girl in a cheetah costume wearing roller skates or maybe rollerblades. She's like blading around and then, like, that's like part of her costume.
Yeah.
Well, it's,
I mean, like, if you look at the original Dark Knight Returns, it came out in the 80s, and I want to say, like, 87?
87, I think, yeah.
And Frank Miller was sort of, it took place in the future, so he kind of was like, there's a couple guesses at how the future would be, and it's very sort of this dark, evil, twisted, Ronald Reagan-ruled America.
Yeah.
And then Dark Knight, the Dark Knight Returns 2, DK2, came out in 2001, and September 11th happened between issues 2 and 3. And so, but it was a guess of what would the future be like, and it was just like, bleh, gross. And then September 11th happening changed that book.
Uh-huh.
And it just is like, it's very interesting. It's like a little, it's like a time capsule, but it also like, it doesn't, it's not a classic.
Huh.
It's like, imagine if they made like a timeless piece of, like Blade Runner. Like, yeah. Blade Runner, you know, still feels very 80s, but it still feels pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine if Blade Runner 2, he joined like a, he and Skrillex went on tour. Which, by the way, Blade Runner takes place 2019. So in more years, get ready for those replicants, guys.
But I like that they gave it enough time to where we're in 2013 and like, okay, six more years, what's going to happen? But like, Escape from New York took place in 1997. Yeah. Like, come on, guys.
Would
really?
You do that if you were making a movie set in the future? Would you set it to the future where, like, oh, I'm going to put in this future and make a guess as to what's going to happen, and then I will probably be alive when that future hits, like Ridley Scott? Or would you just date it to where you know you're going to be dead?
I'd date it to where I know I'm going to be dead.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Same here.
Like, just after. I would, like, find out exactly when I would go. I would, like, roughly.
I think you know a little too much about the future at that point.
I take that back. I would set it for a day after the movie's supposed to be released. So it's like, oh, tomorrow.
I think that's one of the things I appreciated about Looper is that it was set in 2040, but like nothing really looked like futuristic. Like even the cars were kind of retrofitted to keep up with that, like the new car technology. Like it was just old pieces of shit cars, but then they had like oxygen cleaners or whatever. Like,
question about that: was I the only person who did not like that movie?
No. I know a lot of people who didn't.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I have not talked
you're
to one.
You're one of five.
Okay, cool. One of five. Good.
What didn't you like about it?
I don't know. It.
Okay.
I noticed.
We'll be right back.
No, I. It was one that was like halfway through. I was like, oh, this is the way it has to end, and it ended the way I thought it had to end. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, so you like your movies to be a puzzle.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, a little bit. Don't want to figure it out halfway through. Okay. Just because I'm like, this is the only logical way.
So when you say Home Alone, you're just like, I love this movie.
No, that twist ending. Didn't know that old man was going to let him off that hook.
What?
Shit.
You know, it's something gotta return like that
one. Yeah, Leatherface just shows up.
Just been sitting on your shelf.
You know, it's something where you... Yeah, like watch it again and see if it holds up. I figured out the ending to The Prestige. I think a lot of people did before it came up, and I haven't seen it again. But I got a feeling I'm still going to enjoy it.
Yeah,
I'm supposed to see that.
Like I saw Dark Knight Rises. I watched it again, and this time, everyone should have known that Marion Cotillard's character was a bad lady,
right?
But yeah, watching it this time, when I definitely knew, it still was good.
Yeah, because Christopher Nolan has real lady problems. So just knowing him and his catalog, you can be like, oh, something's up with that woman that he cast in that movie.
There's a director's cut of Inception where Ellen Page is a huge cunt.
Is or has?
That's where the train comes from.
Is, you monster.
The train comes from.
I finally sat through the rest of Brazil, finally, like for the first time in my life, because I had done like three false starts on it. I had tried it in high school and college and then in my 20s, and I never made it through. And then I finally made it through the other day, and it was exactly what I thought it was going to be. And that's the end of that story.
You know, it sucks that sometimes movies like that lose points by being the first one.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't know what Brazil's timeline is and sort of like, what came after it or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'd hate for someone to watch Silence of the Lambs now and be like, well, it's just another wacky serial killer movie. I was like, no, you don't get it. All these other movies are ripping off this one. They're like poor echoes of it.
Yeah, someone did that the other day. Oh, it drove me crazy. Fuck, what was it? Oh. Sorry, I'm going to...
Hired a kid in a bookstore. Oh, by the way, the Associated Press recently reported, they're reporting on a set by Nine Inch Nails, and they said they performed a cover of Johnny Cash's Hurt.
Oh.
And then had to retract it.
Wow.
So, hey guys, sorry that I got off on tangent on comic book talk. I got to curb that. But where can people see Whale House or Precious Dad's coming up?
Wellhouse is going to be every Thursday in this month of September.
Thursday at 8:30.
Yeah.
Coaltown Theater.
Austin, Texas, and surrounding areas.
We got off on a tangent before. I said it was weird because it's going to be Pee-wee's Wellhouse, so it's going to be like kind of a kid's theme, but not at all a kid's theme.
It's kind of like we Pee-wee moved out of that house, and it got like foreclosed, and he took a bunch of his stuff, and we moved in, like, kind of like squatting. We're going to give the audience like weird cereal. Before the show,
I think it's normal stuff.
No, no, I'm buying like King Vitamin or something. Okay. I'm buying weird
King
cereal.
Vitaman or whatever.
Vitaman.
Just fruit wheels.
Yeah.
Magic O's.
They are magic. The flavor.
But it's going to be really fun. We're going to have like puppets, and Ramin's going to do like his cartoons. He's going to have his cartoon over.
Ramin Hazer?
Yeah.
The Emperor of Cartoons.
The Emperor of Cartoons, yeah. It's going to be super fun, and we hope it's incredibly different.
Toy Boat is also there. It's another Austin or another Coaltown group.
Nautical theme.
Oh, great.
Yeah, look at that.
So that's Thursdays in September, 8:30 at Coaltown Theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For more information, go to coaltowntheater.com, I suppose. Yeah,
Jeff, just send people stuff if they ask.
Yeah,
cool. There we go.
Got it.
Just ask Jeff.
Yeah.
If you don't know where Jeff is physically, that's YP.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for coming on the show, dudes.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. What a great trip. Windows. Thanks, guys.
It's over already?
It is, yeah.
Crazy.
Blew through the hour, yeah.
Yep. How are we going to die this weekend?
Let's say we take a laser to the stomach.
Show us your boobs.
No.
Jeff, do you want a laser? Here's one. Trey, here's a laser.